First of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the chosen ones who are temporary dwellers of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So, I think he's writing to the people he'd baptized on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. You remember, right at the beginning of Christianity, Peter preached and thousands of Jews from all nations under heaven repented and were baptized. But then there was a persecution, and many of them had to run away from the Jerusalem area. And I think that he's now writing these letters to those people. And some of them, it seems, have slipped away in their faith. Obviously, it was hard living the refugee life. So he says again and again, "You were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, to be obedient and sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So because Jesus rose from the dead and we've been baptized into him, remember Peter's writing to people whom he had baptized, therefore we have this living hope. This is the point, that we have the living hope ahead, and we have even now been born again by being baptized, so that we also have that hope living in us. Now, the hope is an absolute certainty that's ahead, that we really will be there. So he says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." So maybe they'd been baptized, but now the reality of it all was fading away. But he says that the hope that we've got in heaven does not fade away. Now, it's reserved in heaven, but Jesus says, "I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man as his work shall be." So then we don't go to heaven to get the reward. Jesus comes from heaven to earth to give it to us. So then right now we have this hope, this eternal life that's been prepared for us, this specific place in the kingdom that's been prepared for us, that Jesus, as it were, has in heaven, and he's going to bring it to the earth to give it to us when he comes back and we're resurrected from the dead. "You who by the power of God are guarded through faith to a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." That's just what I've been saying, that the salvation is prepared now, but it's revealed in the last time when Jesus comes. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have suffered many trials, so that the proof of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is proved by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So how we respond to our trials now is going to result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus comes back. So there is a direct connection between how we live now and how we respond to life situations and the outcome of the Day of Judgment. As he says, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom you love, though you have not seen him, on whom you believe, though now you do not see him, and rejoice greatly with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So we also have not seen Jesus, and yet he says we believe in him and rejoice with this glorious joy. Now that's a challenge to us. I mean, do we rejoice with such joy in Jesus, whom we have not seen? This is the challenge. We believe in whom we have not seen. And he's alluding, of course, to the words of Jesus, who said, "Blessed or happy are those who I have not seen, but have believed." So we believe that Jesus has risen. And really, it should give us this great joy, although, as he says, because of your trials you've got now, you are also going to be sorrowful. This is the sort of paradox in the Christian life, that you have the great joy, but you are also sorrowful because of the stuff that's going on in your life. "Receiving the result of your faith, the salvation of your souls, Concerning this salvation, the prophets sought and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did point to, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow them. It was revealed to them, that's the prophets, that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you, with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober, and set your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So our whole focus is on the fact that this life is not all. Now, it's hard, especially when you're young, when you're doing your exams and when you're going to school and you see all the possibilities of career and apparently getting wealthy and having a family and choices you can make. And that is how life is, but we are to set our hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus. As children of obedience, do not be conformed to the lusts you had in your former ignorance, but like he who called you is holy, be you yourselves holy in all manner of living, because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father, who without partiality judges according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing you were redeemed not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot. So he says, you're not redeemed with silver and gold. And yet that's the myth of the world, that if I've got money, if I've got wealth, if I've got silver and gold, I can get whatever I want. But he says, no, you are not redeemed with silver and gold, but only with the precious blood of Christ. And he says that you were saved from a vain manner of life that you inherited from your fathers. So the life, the manner of life in the world, which is all about getting wealth, it's all about getting things and having, as they see it, super luxury experiences, going to expensive restaurants, buying expensive cars, buying expensive clothes, having trendy, expensive haircuts and all the rest of it. He says, all this is vanity. It is a vain way of life. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to God and have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and endures. So then we have been born again by God's word. And that's what's made us new. And that is why the Bible and the message of God should have this big role in our lives. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of it as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails. That is, the most handsome man and the most beautiful woman, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of it as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word of good news, the gospel, which was preached to you.